Brothers bring you Mr. John Holyoak. Tonight's presentation of Suspense.
Tonight, Autolite recreates an historical puzzle as we attempt to locate a sunken treasure. The story, based on fact, is called Gold of the Adomar. Our star, Mr. John Holyoak.
Hello, Harold.
Why, Sheriff, you look like a dude on Saturday night.
Well, I'm going for a ride in my new car. There she is over there.
Well, an Autolite-equipped car, I see, with a complete Autolite electrical system, including a coil, distributor, voltage regulator, starting motor, generator, spark plugs, and battery.
You mean Autolite makes whole electrical systems, Harlow?
They sure do, Sheriff, and every unit and every component part of the Autolite electrical system is related by Autolite engineering design and manufacturing skill to give you the smoothest performance money can buy. That's why Autolite electrical systems are installed as original equipment on many leading makes of our finest cars, trucks, tractors, and boats.
Well, I sure am lucky.
Right you are, Sheriff. So, friends, be sure to insist on Autolite original service parts for the electrical system of your Autolite-equipped car, truck, tractor, or boat. You'll find it pays because, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite presents Mr. John Holyoak in Gold of the Adomar, a story based on facts. Hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
You don't hear the splash when you're lowered over the side on a diving stage. Draped in 200 pounds of lead, copper, and rubberized canvas, the main concern at the moment is precarious balance between the inlet and exhaust air valves. Then you step off the diving stage, hang by your lifelines, and begin the long, slow drop to the frigid blackness of the bottom of the sea. As many times as I've done this, I've never felt free from the paralyzing fear of the deep. The ocean seems to take on a malignant personality. But this time the stakes are high. I'm dropping down to a barnacled hulk that has in its strong room $3 million in gold. And as the light from the surface slowly fades, I relax and think. Think about the beginning of my lust for gold.
This won't be the same without you, Nick.
Thanks.
Still trying to figure out why. After 14 years, you suddenly decide to leave the Navy.
Tired of living underwater. I've had a couple of offers from civilian salvage outfits.
Doing what?
Supervising, boys, supervising. Up top, where the sun shines.
But you don't have to dive anymore if you don't want to. Be an instructor.
Fred.
What?
Fred, it's a monetary world. If I have to live in it, I'm going to get some of it.
So?
So this. If I can get a civilian berth, it'll give me 3 times as much in the next 5 years as I can get here, then I'm going to do it.
You'll be eligible for pension in 6 years.
Couldn't care less.
That's it.
Yep. That's it.
Where'll you be staying?
New York for now.
Write me as soon as you have an address.
I will.
Don't get too much of a suntan.
Right now, I'd gladly take a blistering burn.
Sunburn. Someday I'll get one. Maybe after all this is over, I'll have enough of the monetary world to bask in the sun for the rest of my life. Right now, though, I'm cold. I have to swallow over and over again to clear my ears. This wasn't what I had in mind when I left the service. That is, I didn't have it in mind until Carl Foster talked to me.
The Navy Yard, hoping to talk you into getting a leave of absence. But now that you've left the service...
How'd you find me here in New York?
I spoke to Fred James, your ex-roommate.
Oh. Why me? The country's full of competent divers.
Perhaps. But I want one who's more than just competent.
What's the job?
Then you'll take it?
Spend.
On what?
Equipment. Most of all, money.
I've got the equipment.
And the money?
How about one-fifth of $3 million?
Let me tell you something, Mr. Foster.
Carl.
Carl. When I made my first dive into deep water, I had dreams about getting the loot from every sunken Spanish galleon that ever sailed the high seas. But I'm grown up now. This is another treasure hunt, and it's no deal. I've done that bit.
But this isn't just another treasure hunt. This is the gold that went down with the Adamar.
The Adamar's never been located.
It's in 24 fathoms of water.
Yeah, come on.
I trust you, Nick, but I can't afford to take chances. Forget about the location for a minute.
Forgotten. What kind of shape she in?
Oh, I don't know for sure. All I can tell from topside is that she seems to be resting in a gully.
Not good. Any chance you might be wrong?
Oh, possibly. My instruments only gave me the general condition of the wreck.
Well, then you haven't been down.
No. I can't anymore.
Why not?
Heart. Oh. Last case of the bends ruined.
Sorry. But if you haven't been down, how can you be sure it's the Adamar?
I'll tell you. As you probably know, the Adamar was en route to Morocco from here with $3 million in bullion. The rest of the cargo had a secret loading manifest.
1910, wasn't it?
1911. Hmm. He was last heard from 26 miles southeast of Nantucket Lightship.
Then disappeared.
Right. They've looked for 42 years.
Well, then how can you be sure it's the Adamar you've located?
A little over 20 miles southeast of the lightship, I found a wreck. Now, I've checked records till I'm blind, and there's no known wreck of that size reported within 15 miles.
That's kind of flimsy proof.
I got a deal for you.
Go ahead.
Make one dive for me. If it is the Adamar, we continue with our prearranged deal.
If not?
I'll pay you $500 for the dive.
Good deal. How soon can you get your equipment together?
We're ready to sail right now.
You were pretty sure of yourself, weren't you?
To answer that, I'll deliver a message from your roommate, Fred.
What's that?
He told me to tell you it's a monetary world.
My world is now apart from the world of normal men. My world is composed of me in the depths of the Black Sea. There's no sound but the hiss of the exhaust valve as it sends a long ribbon of bubbles upward. Topside in the normal world, everything's ready. Nothing is left to chance. Everything must be right. The men, the time, the place, and the equipment.
Name it, and you've got it. The ship's rigged to tackle anything.
You weren't kidding when you said you were ready to go.
No, I wasn't. Shall we?
Anchor's away.
Mr. Gordon.
Aye, sir.
Hoist anchor. We're on our way.
Aye, aye, sir.
Let's go to my cabin.
Good idea. I want everything right when I go over the side.
Aye. In here.
Thanks.
Your gear stowed away?
All secured.
Fine, fine. Now, here's the layout of the Adamar.
Where's the strong room?
It's right here.
Three decks down.
I thought you'd feel that way.
Well, it's not a problem, really. With a flexible rig at 24 fathoms, I can go right down the stairs from the superstructure to that room and torch my way in.
If the hull is upright.
You think it isn't?
I can't be sure. Instruments registered smooth surface fore and aft. I think she's on her side in the gully.
There weren't any survivors, were there?
No. On the night she sank, a CQD was picked up before recognition was given upon.
Maybe we'll find out how she went down.
Maybe. But remember, we only have a week. Anyway, if she's on her side, here's what we have to do.
Wait a minute. You said you only had a week. Why only a week?
Before I located this, I'd already contracted to go to South America for 5 years to do a series of salvage jobs. I don't want to take the chance of somebody else finding the Adamar while I'm gone.
Well, isn't the bullion worth more than the contract?
Well, it is if it's there. I've seen empty strong rooms before.
So you want to get in, get the loot, if it's there, and get out, is that it?
On the button. Ergo, blasting instead of torching.
Blasting, huh? What about the rest of the cargo?
No one seems to be able to get a hold of a copy of the manifest.
We may find something interesting when we get the hull opened up.
Ah, yes, we may. Well, here we go.
Yep, here we go. And I didn't even get a thumper.
Huh? What was that?
Nothing at all. I no longer look upward. The land of my world is about to come to me from beneath. I turn my lamp on again and flash it downward. And there, seeming to rise up from the dark of nothing, is a ship. And I'm no longer alone. Here is something from my other world. Here is something which was touched by men who felt the warmth of sunlight. Here at my feet could be the wreck of the Atomar. On the bottom. Bullseye. I'm on the hull.
How do you feel?
Fine.
Now, Nick, tell me everything you see and what you're doing.
Right. I think I'm pretty close to amidships. You were right. She's on her side.
Uh-huh. Now, remember, you've only got an out.
I'm going to check the boat's deck. The nameplate.
Okay, but be careful.
Yeah. Topside.
Here.
You won't have to pay me for the dive.
It's the Atomar?
That's what it says here.
Oh, start counting your money.
I've spent it already.
Hey, what's the layout, huh?
From where I am, the beam of my lamp just barely reaches to the sides of the gully you mentioned. They're about 20 feet higher than the hull as it lies now.
What kind of bottom do you have?
Can't say for sure. But it doesn't look like sand. Probably mud.
Watch your footing.
Okay. Going over to... What's the matter up there?
Little chop sprung up. We're pitching a bit.
Give me more line.
On its way.
I'm near a side entry port. Can't make out the number.
Let me check. You're on the starboard side, you say. That should make it the one next to the purser's office.
Where's the strong room from where I am?
About 20 feet aft of you.
I'll check. Carl?
Yeah, go ahead, Nick.
I know how the Atomar was sunk.
What's that?
There's a hole amidships big enough to drive a truck through.
Well, can you make out any detail?
Plates are bent inward. Looks like a mine or a torpedo.
Nothing we can do about that now. Are you near the strong room yet?
Heading for it right now. Got to get around this hole.
You want us to lift you over?
No. I'll find foothold on the rivet. Porthole. Topside. Carl.
Yeah, what is it?
Slipping. No foothold. Take up the slack. Take it up.
Hey, haul away, Gordon. Haul away.
Carl.
Your lines are taut. Can't budge them.
Slack off.
Nick.
Bottom's mud, all right. I'm in it over my head. Lost my lamp. Can't see a thing.
Look, Nick, we're going to pull three times on your line. Let us know if you feel it.
Go ahead. I said go ahead.
We did. Didn't you feel it?
No.
We'll pull a little harder.
Slack off. My lines are fouled.
Are you sure?
I think they're fouled on one of the bent plates in the hull.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I don't think I'm ready to die.
Autolite is bringing you Mr. John Hodiak with Joseph Kearns in Gold of the Atomar, tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Harlow, how long's Autolite been making them automotive electrical systems?
Why, Sheriff, since way back in 1911, when Autolite developed the first 2-unit, 6-volt electrical system used as original equipment.
All that time?
Yes, Sheriff, the Autolite electrical system has a big job to do. It goes to work when you start your car and works every second the engine does, as well as when you blow your horn, turn on your heater, radio, or light.
Well, now that Autolite electrical system's pretty good, Harlow.
It's the finest money can buy, Sheriff. And because the electrical system is so important to the economical operation of your car, it should be treated to a periodic checkup by your car dealer or authorized Autolite service station. To quickly locate him, look in the classified section of the phone book under Automobile Electrical Service, or call Western Union and ask for Operator 25. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. John Hodiak in Elliot Lewis's production of Gold of the Adamar, a true story well calculated to keep you in suspense. There isn't much use in struggling. The 200 pounds of my diving rig pull me deeper into mud, which is already over my head. But the dark is the worst. The dark that terrifies me. Because it isn't water dark. It's mud dark. Can't find a foothold in this sea of gelatinous muck. Nothing.
Nick. Nick.
Suddenly,
can you hear me?
I'm aware of Carl's voice intruding.
Nick.
A welcome intrusion because
Nick.
It's a voice from the world I so desperately wish I was in.
Nick. Nick, can you hear me? Are you okay?
Yeah, Carl. Up to now, I'm okay.
Oh, we've taken up all the slack.
Don't try any harder. If my line is fouled on a hull plate, it might tear my air hose.
We know. Important thing is to get you out of the mud.
Important to who? Me? For the $3 million.
Now, easy, Nick.
Sorry.
Are your hands free?
No. My left hand is pressed against my side. My right's across my chest.
Can you move your legs?
Not much. Even if I could, it wouldn't do any good. No solid footing here.
Nick?
Yeah?
Want me to come down and get you?
Want to die?
We gotta do something.
I know. Topside.
Oh, right here, Nick.
Gonna try something. My right hand's near enough to my inlet valve to turn it full on.
No, you're blown.
Right. Maybe I'll get enough buoyancy to drag myself out of this muck.
If you pop through too fast, you'll surface. Or you'll be dead before we can get to you.
I think I can get into the inlet valve fast enough to cut my air down. Let it bleed out slowly so I can stay down. Then I'll get my lines free and you can haul me up. Ready the decompression chamber just in case I miss.
No. It's too risky. Don't do it.
Got a better idea?
No.
Then we'll do it my way. I'm no hero. But it's the only way out of the mud. Ballooning my rig could kill me. If I don't shut off my air in time, I'll shoot up to the surface. Then if I miss braining myself on the hull of the salvage ship, I'll pop through the surface and be dead of the bend before Carl gets to me. But I have to risk it. I don't want to die in the dark of the mud. Slowly, I inch my hand up to my breastplate and twist the handle of the inlet valve. As my rig inflates, I feel the pressure of the mud ease off. A little more. A little more. Suddenly, I pull free and shoot up toward the surface. I claw for the air valve and turn it off, but still I rise. Desperately, I bang my exhaust valve wide open with my chin. Too late. I'm too buoyant. Suddenly, I'm brought up short. My fouled lifeline holds firm. As the excess air bleeds through the exhaust valve, I settle back to the Adamar. To another chance at $3 million. I adjust the balance of the valves and look for the spot where my line fouled. I find it.
Here, have some more coffee.
Thanks. Oh, man, that air smells good.
Well, I guess that's that.
What do you mean, that's that?
Well, you're not going down there anymore, are you?
Of course I am. I'm a diver, not a tourist.
It was a pretty rough go down there.
Yes, it was. But there's also $3 million down there. I'm not going to let a little mud bother me.
Funny.
What's funny?
You calling it only a little mud.
Yeah, I guess so.
Now that you're going ahead, what's the next step?
Blast.
When?
Tomorrow morning.
How many charges do you think it'll take?
About three.
One thing bothers me.
What's that?
That gully the Atomer's in. Any chance of the sides caving in from the blast?
I thought about that, too. I don't think so, Carl. I'm going to use control charges. Most of the blast effect will channel into the plate.
Okay. Why don't you turn in now? It's been a rough day.
I think I will. What about you?
In a few minutes.
Okay. Goodbye.
Night.
I dreamed of sticky, gummy, slimy mud. Until it seemed that the whole world was one gigantic mud ball. Finally, I managed to get a few hours of restful sleep. Dreamless sleep. Welcome sleep. In the morning, I climbed into my rig and went down to set the first blast on the Atomar. The water was clear, and my lamp pierced through to the limit of its beam. I planted the charge against the entry port and went up to the salvage ship to help Carl with a detonation. We made the necessary arrangements and pulled the trigger. The next day was a repetition of the previous day. 6 hours after the second blast, I went down to check the results.
How'd we do?
Knocked off a little more than I expected. Cargo hold is exposed. Looks like there was only one bulkhead between it and the strong room. I'm going to check it.
Okay, but don't take any chances.
Relax. That gold is as good as aboard right now. Topside.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know why the cargo manifest was secret.
What'd you find?
Dynamite.
Why didn't the Atomar blow up when she was hit?
The hole in her hull is aft the munitions hole. Any one of a dozen things could have diverted the shock. But a main hold full of munitions and dynamite.
No surprise to me.
A cargo hold full of munitions isn't a surprise?
Under ordinary conditions, yes. But under the conditions surrounding the voyage of the Atomar, no.
All right, I'll bite. What were the conditions?
Well, first we know that she sailed in 1911, July 2nd.
Well, what's that?
I'm coming to that. On July 1st. German warship, the Panther, sailed into the harbor of Agadir port of Morocco.
I think I'm beginning to get the story. This was the incident that almost caused a war between France and Germany.
On the button.
Well, then the reason the Atomar was on its way to Morocco was to deliver the essentials of war, money and munitions.
That's the way I got it figured.
Well, now the secret manifest begins to make sense.
Doesn't it, though?
What do we do now?
That's your job. One more blast.
Are you nuts? The next blast might set off all the munitions.
No, it wouldn't. Nick, that stuff's been underwater for over 40 years. Why, there wouldn't be one chance in a million of that happening.
It happened once before.
When?
1930, the Artelio in the harbor of Tiburona.
Oh, yeah, but the TNT and the hold of that wreck had only been underwater 13 years.
1333 makes no difference.
But there is a difference. That other stuff was only in 10 fathoms. It's 24 fathoms here. There's enough pressure down there to squash every shell, let alone seep into every crack.
All right. What do you want to do?
Blast. Even if it means planting two small charges in two separate trips, it'll still be faster than an underwater torch.
Supposing the whole wreck blows.
Well, then you lose one-fifth of $3 million.
And you?
I go back to South America. Well?
Okay. Hate me. I'm greedy. Let's go.
Set
the explosive fore and aft.
Oh, good.
One thing.
Yeah, what?
How much electrical cable you got?
Oh, a couple of thousand feet wide.
Let's use it. We've got the buoy for a marker. Let's ease off as far as we can from the wreck, just in case the cargo goes.
Nothing's going to happen.
I said let's move off.
This is my ship, and I give the orders. We stay.
Aye, aye, sir.
Gordon.
Aye, sir.
Make ready to blast.
Ready.
Let her go.
Here she goes.
The Atomar blew up.
Hang on. Hang on!
We didn't think, but we might as well have. The salvage ship sprung every seam in her hull. Most of the gear was washed overboard as great gobs of mud spewed from the bottom rose into the air and splashed against us. Wasn't hard to imagine what happened on the bottom. The gully that cradled the Atomar collapsed. The sides rolled down on the wreck, burying it under 20 feet of silt. What happened to the $3 million is anybody's guess. Probably salted through all the muck 24 fathoms down. We managed to make it to dry dock for repairs. I never saw Carl again after that. Me? But if you want me, you'll have to write to Chief Petty Officer Larkin, attached to undersea training, New London, Connecticut. I'm eating three good meals a day, getting plenty of sunshine, and building up pension time. I think I'm content. As far as I'm concerned, you can have your monetary world.
Presented by Autolite, tonight's star, Mr. John Hodiak.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for Autolite, world's largest independent manufacturer of automotive electrical equipment. Autolite is proud to serve the greatest names in the industry. That's why, during the early months of this year, as we did a year ago, the Autolite family will join in saluting the leading car manufacturers who install Autolite products as original equipment. Our Autolite family is a worldwide family and includes some 30,000 men and women in Autolite plants in the United States, Canada, and many foreign countries, and the 18,000 people who have invested a portion of their savings in Autolite, as well as thousands of Autolite distributors and dealers and the many leading manufacturers who use Autolite products as original equipment. Our Autolite family will salute the Hudson Motor Car Company on the next Autolite Suspense television program. If you live in a television area, check the day and time of Suspense on television so that you'll be sure to see this program.
Next week, a true story with only names and places changed. A classic report on a famous bank robbery and murder in the Old West. It's called The Spencer Brothers. Our star, Mr. Richard Widmark. That's next week on Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morowick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. Gold of the Atomar was written for Suspense by Ross Murray. In tonight's story, Joseph Kearns was heard as Carl, Clayton Post as Fred, and Charles Calvert as Gordon.
John Hodiak is soon to be seen in Conquest of Cochise, a Columbia picture.
And remember, next week, Mr. Richard Widmark in The Spencer Brothers.
This is the CBS Radio Network. And its 98,000 dealers bring you Mr. Richard Widmark in tonight's presentation of
Suspense. tonight, Autolite presents a true story with only names and places changed. A classic report on a famous bank robbery and murder in the Old West. The story is called The Spencer Brothers. Our star, Mr. Richard Widmark.
Well, Harlow, ready?
Yeah, shoot, Hap.
What is the heart of a car's ignition system?
Why, the spark plugs, of course. And if they're not functioning properly, you won't get the smooth economical performance you normally expect from your car.
And how do I keep the spark plugs in top shape, Doctor?
Why, you have them checked regularly by your nearby Autolite spark plug dealer. He's the expert on cleaning and adjustments, and he services all makes of cars.
But suppose they're worn out or wrong for my style of driving, Professor.
Why, then your Autolite spark plug dealer will replace them with a set of world-famous ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs. Either standard or resistor type.
And to locate my nearest Autolite spark plug dealer?
Just call Western Union by number and ask for operator 25. She'll quickly tell you where to find your nearest dealer who sells Autolite spark plugs, both standard and resistor types. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite presents transcribed The Spencer Brothers, a true story with only names and places changed, starring Mr. Richard Widmark, hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
Jim, wait.
What's the matter?
Good thing I did look at the bank. See who just came out. That Simpson man from Cass County.
Yeah. Well, luck gets no better, does it? Turn your backs on me. Go the other way. He's not coming.
He's not coming. He went into the livery next door. But did he see us?
There's no way to know. We'll go in now.
Listen, you people. If everyone will stand just as you are, there'll be no shooting.
Hurry, Jim.
Open the drawers.
Yes, sir.
All of them. Put the money in the satchel.
Yes, sir.
Hurry.
Yes, sir. I can't.
Come on, give me the keys.
Yes, sir. Take them.
Sit down. Stay where you are.
Yes, sir.
And don't stand up, people.
Yes. It's all over. Don't move, anybody. Don't try to follow us. We'll kill anyone who does. You've taken too long.
Put your gun away. I'll cover while we leave.
No one move.
We're too slow. Hurry. We've been here too long.
We're all right. Put your gun away. We'll walk to the horses.
Hey, isn't that the Spencer boys from Cass County?
Simpson, keep going.
Hey, hold up. Hey, don't you remember me? Simpson from your county.
Carl, no!
Carl. With your gun, you've surely killed us all.
Come on! Come on!
this moment on, we're dead men. Now, surely, there's no future for us except by miracle. No excuse for Carl's shooting except that he's the youngest and that he was frightened. And a useless killing. It accomplished nothing.
I'm sorry, Jim. I couldn't help it. Nobody else knew us. When he called out our name, I had to stop him.
It's all right, Carl.
You stopped him. You stopped us, too.
Well, yeah. They heard our name. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
Once we were right. We were the wrong ones. But no more. No more the soldiers still with honor sharing the Confederate defeat. No more justifying our motives and actions. The crutch we used, our persecution by the few hundred of the victors, that's gone now. Nothing's left except that we're killers and must never stop running. And perhaps never stop killing. We'll have to hide now. Then we'll think instead of riding blindly. We'll think tonight and plan something. A man can't think without thinking of a future. We'll think us a future. Lie us a future if we have to.
This is good.
Loosen the cinches, but don't take the saddles off. No fire, no smoke. This will be a dark camp and a quiet one. You haven't spoken for an hour, John.
What is there to say, Jim?
That we're brothers.
All right, we're brothers.
And the mistake of one is the mistake of all of us.
Seems to be the way it is.
I'm sorry, John. Wouldn't we have been hunted for the robbery? If Simpson hadn't been there, no, we wouldn't have. But he was there. All I could think was Simpson mustn't be there, and I killed him so he wouldn't be.
What do you think we should do, John?
Keep going, I suppose.
Where?
I don't know.
Well, I've been thinking. All of us agree that killing Simpson was a mistake. But in the rest of our plan, we were right and justified. So we can still stand up among honest men.
Where are we going to find honest men who'll let us stand with them?
We'll leave Missouri and go west, far west, Colorado territory, where the country's just opening up.
How do we get across all of Kansas to get there? How do we leave here? What road do we take? Sure, there's no posse waiting to ambush us.
Has the word spread so fast, Jim?
5 hours? Yes, I think it has. Traveled faster than we have, no doubt. But I have a plan. By it, we'll find new lives in a new country. We'll talk of it after we rest. But what is my plan? A half-day ride and a river crossed will put Missouri behind. But Kansas, almost 500 miles to cross straight away, coursed by roads and trails, with many people. My plan is to run, and I know it. Blindly, because there's no other way. Once across Kansas... Yes, there is hope, if we're once across Kansas. Necessary. No more, no less.
Do we fight?
I'll thank you to keep your youth and your fright under control. We fight only if we're provoked. I'll talk, if you don't mind.
Good afternoon, friend.
Good afternoon to you.
Where are you bound?
We're bound for Salina. And I'd like to ask why you're interested.
Where are you from?
We're riding from Dodson.
Missouri?
That's right.
Heard there was a big bank robbery and killing there.
So we heard.
You seen three men along the way? Could be the Spencer brothers.
We've seen nothing. But we've heard of them.
What have you heard?
That they're not really killers or outlaws.
They killed all right. They robbed. What else do you hear?
That they had reason to do what they did. That they came back from the war to find their family dead and their home burned.
I didn't hear that.
Their father was a wealthy man, you know, and he left them money that they couldn't get because all the records were burned. Most of the money, $25,000, I hear, was in the bank at Dodson. That's what they went after. What was rightfully theirs.
You know a lot about them. Where'd you get your horse?
I bought him, and that's my business.
Should have stole another. Brand on his flank marks you as the Spencer brothers.
Now, look out, Tom! John!
Carl?
I'm all right, Jim.
John?
Two cartridges gone is all, and you?
I'm all right. We better ride out of here.
Cowboy! Get up!
I know how the word will spread. Four-man posse was ambushed and murdered by the Spencer brothers. More men on the trail afterwards. And less than half of Kansas crossed. Better at Shiloh. Better at Bull Run. 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 Run after your future, Spencer brothers. It's fast getting away.
Is bringing you Mr. Richard Widmark in The Spencer Brothers. Tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Okay, Harlow, recess is over.
Then fire away, Hap.
Just what is the Autolite resistor spark plug?
Why, it's the greatest advance in spark plugs for automotive use in the past 25 years.
Yes, but why, Professor?
Because it has something extra. The built-in 10,000-ohm exclusive Autolite resistor, which makes possible such outstanding advantages as double spark plug life, smoother engine performance, and quick starts. And the Autolite resistor spark plug is only one of a complete line of world-famous ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs for every use.
And now, any advice before school lets out, Professor Wilcox?
Yes, yes. Friends, have your spark plugs checked by your nearest dealer who sells Autolite spark plugs. And if replacements are needed, get ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs, either standard or resistor type. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Richard Widmark in Elliot Lewis's production of The Spencer Brothers, a true story well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Grantville, St. Mary's along the river, and half of Kansas is crossed. At the price of brothers, but more important, at the price of horses. They can't go on. The next house or settlement, we have to stop. There's no choice.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Carl?
Yeah, Jim?
We'll stop soon.
We have to.
John, how are you?
Not complaining, Jim. We've covered more of Kansas than most riders would in the past 2 days.
And nights. We'll stop soon. We need fresh horses, even more than we need rest.
Where are we going to find people to sell us fresh horses?
We'll find horses.
We have $25,000. It isn't safe to stop and spend a dollar of it.
It will be. When we get across Kansas, our money will mean more than our names do.
That'd be nice.
Behind us. I heard something. I don't know what.
Get up.
Come
on.
Get up. Get out of here.
$25,000, and it isn't safe to spend a dollar of it. When we get across Kansas, our money will mean more than our names do. But to get across Kansas,
We have to have horses.
Jim?
Yeah.
There's piles ahead.
Pull in.
Think we should try it, Jim?
Yeah. It's an isolated place.
Why is there a lamp burning so late?
Maybe they're waiting for us. We can't ride these horses through the next day. We're north now. Maybe we aren't the criminals here. We are in the south. We might find friends.
Friends? Hope there is a place where we find friends. You'd like to wait outside, Jim, and I'll go in.
I'll go with you.
Get it. Come on, Marshall. Go on.
Peaceful enough. There's an old man there reading a newspaper. We'll go in.
What do you want?
Well, not your rifle pointing at us like it is, my friend.
Man with a head on will greet strangers at night with a rifle. What do you want?
We've ridden a long way and our horses are tired. We wondered if we could buy fresh mounts from you.
If you have the money, you might.
We have the money.
All right. Come in.
Thank you.
You want horses? Where are you going so fast?
We're crossing Kansas, going west.
Where are you from?
Missouri.
What's the matter with Missouri? You ashamed of it?
No, no, sir.
What part of Missouri? From Dodson, by any chance?
Yes, we're from Dodson. Any trouble about that?
The word's come out here that the three Spencer brothers came from there. Heading west. You wouldn't be them, would you? Needing horses.
Oh, I'm tired of this. What if we were?
John, stop.
What if you were? With a $5,000 reward on them Spencer's head, I'm a mind to hold you here till I find out who you are. Get back.
I don't think we will.
Carl!
God! Jim!
The lamp. The lamp. Where are you, Carl?
I'm here.
How bad, Carl? Where are you hit, Carl?
In the chest, I think. I don't think it's bad. I'm sure I can keep up with you.
Get him outside. We've got to move him outside.
Come on, Carl. Come on. Can you walk? I can walk and ride, too.
Where's your gun, Carl?
I dropped it.
There, found it. Well, come on, Carl.
I'm all right, but it's colder out here.
Put him down, John.
Yeah. You won't leave me?
No, we won't, Carl.
I'll keep up with him. When I rest a little while. When I rest. Sorry. It's all my fault. When I rest.
Carl.
He's gonna die, Jim.
Look. The lamp's at the house ablaze. The flames from the house will draw everyone within miles. We gotta go, John.
And leave him?
The stable's over there. We'll have time to saddle some fresh horses if we hurry.
I know how the word will spread. A house burned down and an old man murdered and cremated by the Spencer brothers. One of the Spencers killed, two left. Two Spencer brothers heading west on stolen horses. And who knows these horses? 100 men? The markings on the Pinto John rides, the head of my roan? Who knows the road we take? How many after us? With 6 dead men left behind and $5,000 on our heads. No one ever told us Kansas was so wide to cross.
Pull up, John. Whoa, whoa,
whoa, whoa. The trees up ahead, they must mean a river. On this road, a ferry.
Can we afford a ferry, Jim?
No. The trees look less thick to the south. We'll head off that way and look for a crossing.
Come on, let's go. Come on. Hey.
It's the Smoky Hill River, John. It means we're getting close to the border.
We're close to a lot of things, Jim. And you know that. The end or the beginning.
The border is what I keep thinking of. They could know the road we take. They could know what we decided on and guard the crossing south and north. But we don't know. And we have to go. Have to cross the Smoky Hill. The border's beyond.
Who there?
Good cover on the other side, John. Willow thickets and elm.
The bottom here looks better than we've passed.
We'll try, then. Keep an eye out.
Eat up, boy. Come on, go. Eat up.
Jim, sunlight on metal upstream.
Come on, faster, then.
Get up.
Come on, go. Go.
Come on. Jim, John. John, I can't stop.
Come on, get up. Come on, let's go.
Rightfully ours. Come on, run, Spencer brothers. After your future. It's fast getting away. What?
rotten, murdering wretch. We showed him how Kansas takes care of the likes of him.
Suspense. Presented by Autolite, the night star, Mr. Richard Widmark.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for Autolite, world's largest independent manufacturer of automotive electrical equipment. Autolite is proud to serve the greatest names in the industry. That's why, during the early months of 1953, as we did last year, the Autolite family will join in saluting the leading car manufacturers who install Autolite products as original equipment. Our Autolite family is a worldwide family and numbers among its members some 30,000 men and women in Autolite plants in the United States, Canada, and many foreign countries, and the 18,000 people who have invested a portion of their savings in Autolite, as well as thousands of Autolite distributors and dealers and the many leading manufacturers who use Autolite products as original equipment. Our Autolite family will salute the Packard Motor Car Company on the next Autolite Suspense television program. If you live in a television area, check the day and time of Suspense so that you'll be sure to see this program.
Next week, following a popular trend, Autolite anticipates the strange disappearance of experimental rocket ship Y-272B. The time, the year 2053. The place, the planet Mars. The star, Mr. Jack Benny. The story is called Plan X. That's next week on Suspense. Suspense is transcribed and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morowick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The Spencer Brothers was adapted for Suspense by Gil Dowd. In tonight's story, Joseph Kearns was heard as John Spencer and Sam Edwards as Carl Spencer. Featured in the cast were William Conrad, John Daner, Sammy Hill, and Parley Bear.
Richard Widmark is soon to be seen in the 20th Century Fox Technicolor production, Destination Gobi.
And remember, next week, Mr. Jack Benny in Plan X.
This is National YMCA Week. All over America, the Young Men's Christian Association serves boys and girls, men and women of all races and creeds. Volunteer leaders are urgently needed. Why not pay a visit to the YMCA in your community? Perhaps you can be of service.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.